How many believe this? That God has the strength to give you the courage to not fear, especially in trials. Kayla, way to pick songs today that flow into our theme that we can trust Jesus Christ. Praise God. You know, we play these songs because the songs aren't the Word of God, but they're inspiration to give us a sense of understanding that we can use in music. But in our Confidence in Trial series, we have seen with Joseph that we are what? Not to die until we are dead. Meaning, we're never to give up. We're to keep looking up, don't quit, and trust in God, right? When Moses, when your back is against the wall, we saw him. Don't be overcome by fear. Take time to be silent and wait upon the Lord, trusting in him that he is our hope. He is our hope, right? He is in control. We will see these themes running through this Confidence in Trials series. And I believe fear is a factor in every trial. Fear. With Joseph and Moses, we saw something. That they had no options to relieve their trial. They only had choices in how to respond to them. Either respond to them mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. But there was nothing physical they could do to end their trial. It was completely dependent upon God. Today we're going to see a trial where choices are available. Today, what if the trial is so large in your life that the price seems too high? The price is just too high. You may feel that the right choice is overpriced and you have no willingness to pay it or step up. The choice you may have to make may cost too much. When it comes to trials, we can think of many. We can name trials, especially the older you are, the more you can name. The more you've experienced, the more you've realized in life. But when it comes to trials, what could possibly be in the category of one of the most difficult, one of the most painful trials one may go through? One answer would be the death of a close loved one. The death of somebody you love dearly. This would certainly be one of the severest trials we may face in life that tests one's belief in and commitment to God when this special loved one may now be gone. Or when we see it heading in that direction. This morning in our series on Confidence in Trials, we're going to look at a young woman. Her name is Ruth. A young woman named Ruth, who in the face of all her multiple trials, she was faced with choices. What do we do in trials when the price seems too high to do right? To make the right decision. Ruth faced multiple trials, including the death of her husband, and had to choose which path to follow going forward, and seemingly that path was too high a price to pay, maybe. If she was going to make the right choice, there would be no relief from her current trial. It's a trial compounded on a trial. Today we're not going to cover all the wonderful lessons in Ruth. This was one of my big struggles because I wanted to rabbit trail off everywhere here because you just can't do it today. Ruth takes more time than that. In fact, Women of Joy, they took weeks and weeks to get through Ruth. Four chapters, they took weeks to get through Ruth. We are just going to spend a short time with her today, and we're going to stay like a scalpel in the scope of a trial. So I will not be segued. Her life story is found in the book that's named after her. The book of what? Ruth. There you go. Esther is the only other book in the Bible named after a woman. But I believe as you read through Ruth, there are two verses in this little book that summarize Ruth's life story. You want to read them with me? Ruth 2, 11 through 12. Boaz replied to her, All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. And how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Two key words are found in verse 12. Refuge and reward. Refuge and reward. With that in mind, we're going to look at the refuge Ruth sought in the Lord. We're going to see that though the price Ruth paid to seek this refuge in the Lord seemed very high from a human standpoint, it paled in comparison to the reward she found from the Lord for her faith in Him. That's what we want to see today. I trust that through this series that we're in this confidence in trials, it will drive home to our hearts that every trial we face in our lives is meant to drive us closer to the Lord and find our confidence in Him where He can then use us for His glory. Amen? Lord, I just pray this morning that as we come to You, that we will hear Your word. We thank You for Ruth. We thank You for using her life. I pray, Lord, that we will see truths here that we can apply to ours so we too, like her, can please You. Lord, You know right now those here that are dealing with trials. I pray, Lord, You will encourage them today, that You will uplift them, and that they will praise You. In Your name we pray. Amen. So the refuge Ruth sought in the Lord. Look at Ruth 1:1. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. So the story of Ruth takes place in the days when the judges governed. Okay? These were some of the darkest days, spiritually and morally, in the history of Israel. The days the judges governed. Dark. Immorality. Spiritually dark. The nation had gone into idolatry at this time and had so turned away from God's rule that the last line in the book of Judges ends with such a sad statement, a sobering yet sad statement. Judges 21:25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's how it ended. That's exactly the point today. When the price seems too high in your trial, will you do what is right in your own eyes or in the eyes of the Lord? Will you allow anger to rule? Will you allow bitterness to take hold? Will you allow depression or anxiety or fear to start taking control? Will you turn on God? Will you go back? What will you do when the price seems too high? Ruth 1:1 also tells us that there was a famine in the land. That is the land of Bethlehem in Judah, okay? The famine was so severe that this man named Elimelech took his family, his wife Naomi and his two sons, and they sought relief, the Bible says, in the land of Moab. You see Moab there? Right to the south, to the west of the Dead Sea. They went to Moab. What happened there? Things did not go well in Moab. Things didn't go too well. Elimelech died there. Naomi, she's now a widow. But at least she still had her two sons, right? They soon married Moabite women. And now she not only had two sons, she now had two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. How many Orpahs do you know in the world? Where's my girls? Orpah's not, you know, that's not a name for you. But tragedy struck again. Both Naomi's sons die as well in chapter 1, verse 5. Now here you have it. Here are three widows, and all of them childless. Here is Ruth facing a major trial. Her father-in-law is gone, her brother-in-law is gone, and her husband is now dead. Here comes phase two, a decision to face even a deeper trial compounded because of the first trial. If you go through life, you will see sometimes trials do this to you. Sometimes we compound them on our own. Other times there's choices we must make in the trial. She had to go with Naomi or go back home for a new man. Go back home for a new husband. So hearing that the famine was over, Naomi, she's destitute, she's brokenhearted, she decided to return to Judah to her own relatives in verse 6. When her two widow daughters-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, started to follow her, she urged them to return and stay with their families in Moab. And she prayed that God would deal kindly with them and give them husbands. There's the hook. To our women today, they may say, that's not a temptation. If that happened to me, we live in a different society. Our women have degrees, they go to school, they're educated, they have career-minded, they earn money, they work. But we must understand the culture of this day. In that day, a woman alone, a widow, was at very great risk to herself. A husband, it says in 3:10, was her security. A husband and family was her place of safety. It was not good to remain a widow, especially a young widow who's a poor widow, destitute widow, with no secure future. So stay in Moab and get a husband. But neither of them would leave Naomi and go back. So listen to Naomi pile it on. Listen to what she now says to them. Verse 11 through 13. But Naomi said in chapter 1, return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. We are looking at Ruth today. There's a whole sermon on Naomi. We're not there. However, if you want to see that stinking thinking, fear-controlled, lack of faith and trust, example of handling a trial, the opposite of Joseph, Moses, and Ruth, just study Naomi. You can do that on your time. But oh my, what's going on here in these verses? Naomi began to point out in detail the dire situation if they should choose to leave Moab and go with her to Judah. There's no hope here if they would choose to compound the trial that they were already in. It's only going to get far worse for you. The price in going with Naomi would be too high for you to pay. Don't come with me. I mean, Naomi had no other sons for them to marry. And as a Moabite woman and a widow, the prospect of a Moabite woman finding a husband in Judah was slim to none. Therefore, stay in Moab and get your man. Don't come back with me, a Moabitess in Judah. You're not going to get a man. Poverty is only there to wait for you. Do you know what happened to many widows? They would have to go into prostitution or go into homelessness. The point she is making is that, Ruth, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. Stay here. A future of poverty with no security is all that comes with me. She had nothing to offer them if they went with her. She herself was poor. Naomi was now destitute. And Naomi, remember, has been gone now for 10 years, and she didn't even have any certainty that there was a home for her to go to. She did not know what her future held. She had no more sons to marry them, and they would be left as widows begging for food. My, oh my. Ruth's current trial and now the trial of deciding to choose came down to this. Do I fix my present condition with what I'm being told, with a logical choice, or do I compound my trial, my current trial, by choosing to add to the one I'm in? A hopeless future. It's at this point on this day that Ruth makes a choice. That's what it comes down to, friends. Choices. How are you going to choose to handle your decisions in your trial? A choice that will shape Ruth's future. A choice that will change her life. A choice quite different, sadly, from the one her sister-in-law Orpah made. Orpah, faced with the same cost, the price of following Naomi and the God of Israel, she kissed Naomi goodbye and went back, the word says in verse 15, to her people and her gods. The price for Orpah seemed too high. Orpah. She was not willing to pay that price, especially since Naomi pushed the issue. Yes, I will go back home to my mom, to my dad, and I'll get a man. And go back to my gods. It is the last we hear in the word of God of Orpah. She went back to her pagan culture to worship her non-existent gods. A choice that, unless we find out differently in heaven, led her to ultimately perishing eternally. A choice that if she could make it again, if Orpah could make that decision again, she would have surely, surely followed Ruth to this land and to this new people who worship the one true God. She surely would have followed Ruth if she could do it again. This is what happens in trials. We have choices to make, and those choices matter. But Ruth, on the other hand, clung to Naomi. Don't you love that? How many of you like Ruth? How many of you know women in your life like Ruth? Praise God for them. The words expressing her decision are some of the most beautiful in all the Bible. In fact, I think these words were used at Gabe and Kayla's wedding. Ruth 1, 16 through 17. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. Isn't that beautiful? Does that sound like commitment of choice? Do you think she didn't know what Naomi was saying to her about her possible future? Ruth decided to leave everything near and dear to her, her home, her family, her culture, her friends, even Orpah, her sister-in-law. That temptation didn't cause her to waver. She was going to a foreign land as a Moabite to live in seeming poverty as a widow with no prospect of a husband. And she says, I will die there. Her commitment was even beyond death. Therefore, she was determined that she was never going back. She would be buried in Israel. She would be loyal to Naomi. She would be loyal to the Lord God unto death. And herself, when Naomi was long gone, would be buried there as well. I have made up my mind to do right, regardless of my future circumstances. In 2:12, we learn more from what Boaz said. God gave us a glimpse into Ruth here. Boaz says, may the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel. What's it say? Under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. The Holy Spirit reveals to us that she decided to seek refuge under the wings of the Lord. You see, what do we do when we face our trials? No matter how difficult they may appear, no matter what the cost, we must run to the Lord. Don't go back like Orpah and seek solution in other gods. The gods of this world. The gods of our own making. Run to the one true God, your God. Remember in Psalms 57, do you remember when David, he was fleeing in the wilderness for his life? Imagine having a military after you to kill you. We don't relate. David's in the wilderness. We were in that wilderness. We saw areas, Herb's not doing security. We saw areas where David would hide. We saw some areas where they believed David even was in hiding and drank from these brooks. It is not a kind wilderness. David's running in that wilderness. Everything seemingly going against him. And we're told in verse 4 of Psalm 57, his soul was among lions. Man, he's in the thick of a trial. And David fled to God, to the shadow of his wings. We see this again and again in the Psalms. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings, in the shadow of your wings. Under his wings you may seek refuge. Over and over we see this. Where does God want you to seek refuge in hardship? Him and him alone. How we must learn to do the very same thing. You see, when the price for following the Lord and trusting him in your trials for your very life seems too high, pay it anyway. Pay it anyway. Do it anyway. Pay it. Do you think God will owe you? The price of following Jesus, even if it seems too high a price, is never too high. Don't let Satan, don't let your sin nature ever fool you into this. For the reward for seeking refuge in the Lord is always greater than the cost. Hear me, the reward from God is always greater than any cost we could ever pay. As we shall see, the reward Ruth found from the Lord. So we see the refuge she sought. Now the reward. Verse 22. So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess. It ends at the beginning of the barley harvest. Is that important? Two widows, no home, no food, no prospects, desolate and desperate, but in the will of God, under the shadow of his very wings, were right where God wanted them at just the right time, the barley harvest. Deuteronomy 24 and Leviticus 19 stipulated in the law that landowners were not to harvest the corners of their fields, remember? But they were to leave something for the poor of the land, to allow them to come in and gather what they could to survive. Now remember, we're in the days of the judges. Do you think the people were following God's laws? So the God not only brought them back to the barley harvest, but he led them to a specific field. Ruth, in her humility, guess what she did? She did just that. Right in the center of God's will, she went to gather as a beggar, as a poor person. Ruth 2:3, so she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. As Ruth went to the field, the Bible says, she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Her deceased father-in-law, right? They didn't know they had any family to go back to. In fact, they didn't even know this. The Hebrew word here says she chanced to come to. We saw this in Genesis when they sold him to Egypt. Joseph, remember? Have you ever heard of this guy? There was a cowboy who was bitten by a rattlesnake. The doctor asked him, oh my, was this an accident? And the cowboy said, nope, I think he bit me on purpose. We see over and over again in God's Word, God is sovereign. We do not live as the victims of benefactors of blind chance, but rather under the loving, guiding hand of God our Father. He is working out His plan and His purpose in our lives, and we can praise God for that. Ruth 2:4 says, "Now behold, Boaz came." Sound familiar? Genesis 37:25, when Joseph was in the pit, "Behold, a caravan is coming." Let's summarize it then. Here is a foreign girl, new to the land and new to the people. Yes, she just happened to go to the portion of the field that just happened to be Boaz, who just happens to be a relative, who just happens to be a rich one at that in 2:1, who just happens to be a godly man in those evil, dark days, who just happens to be single. Did all that just happen by chance? Well, as I told you, we're in a short time in Ruth today, so I'm just going to say, you know the rest of the story. Boaz will become Ruth's husband. There are so many messages in this true story we can't cover today, but God was not just working to save Ruth from her current circumstances. Do you know that? Which He did do, did He not? Did He not save her in her temporal circumstances? But was that all that God was doing? God goes on, it says in chapter 4, verse 13, and will enable Ruth to conceive. And they will have a son named Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David, from who will come Jesus Christ. The ultimate and final blessed kinsman redeemer of the world. Do you think God had a bigger plan? Praise God that He used this trial for His purposes. The great, 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 great grandma. Wow. Praise God that no matter what you may be facing, you have been redeemed by the love of God through the love of His Son, Jesus Christ, from the working in the Old Testament, from day one, in the beginning, this great plan of redemption. And as we see Ruth redeemed through Boaz, the kinsman redeemer for her, we see the greatest one and only kinsman redeemer of the world, Jesus Christ, come through that line. Praise God. What may have appeared to have happened by chance and luck from a human perspective was all according to the sovereign guiding hand of God. And we must realize that in our trials. So here is Ruth, who in her trial sought refuge like a little bird under the wings of Almighty God. And she discovered something. She discovered that the price she paid for that choice she made paled next to the reward she found in the Lord, her Redeemer. Do you think she thought back on that road when she chose with Naomi that she regretted the choice she made? No. So let's move this into now. Let's go and move it to the New Testament. Remember the words of Jesus, Matthew 19:27-29. Then Peter said to Him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed You. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed Me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or farms, for My name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." Behold, we have left everything and followed You. What then will there be for us? In this context, remember, the rich young ruler having asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. He was told to leave it all and follow Jesus, and he would have treasures in heaven in chapter 19:21. You know this. But he refused to give up everything. He refused to follow Jesus and he walked away. The price for that man was too high. Then that is when Peter said, "Behold, we have left everything to follow you," as opposed to that man. Jesus did not say, "You screwed up. Thanks." But he's wise. He didn't say that at all. He accepted that statement and stated as much and just got done teaching them that. How many have ever heard of the martyr missionary Jim Elliot, who put it this way? "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." The truth is, all situations, my friends, may not end up like Joseph's, Moses's, Ruth's in this life. For the very disciples Jesus was talking to, those decisions cost them their very lives. For Jim Elliot, that decision cost him his life. For Paul, it cost him a life of hardship. Even right now, as we speak across this globe, Christians are being martyred for their faith. So does the Bible promise that everyone's trial will end up good in this world the way they want it? We must be careful in how we preach the Word of God. What if the reward is not experienced like Ruth if you make the right choice in this life? We must know we will always have the reward of peace of heart, though. The peace of heart that passes all understanding when we're in God's will. Trials so often come down to an Orpah Ruth decision. We know this about ourselves. We are so inclined towards self-preservation, self-happiness, self-pleasure, where there is no pain or no hardship, the seemingly easy way. We, like water, want to find the easy way. And temptation that we face is to choose the way through the trial that will alleviate those issues, even if it's the wrong choice. Then we make excuses to condone that behavior. How many of you have experienced this battle in your own life at some point or the other? What will you choose, my friends, when the price seems too high? What if you must quit a job that may cost you everything, where the replacement opportunities may mean poverty? What if you must leave that fiance after years of investment, after years of emotions, because they will not follow the Lord? What if you're called to a ministry that will cost you massive income and a questionable future? What if standing for the truth will cost you that large sale that will affect your business or cost you your career? There was a man out on parole. He had to find a job or be in violation of parole, or he'd go back to jail. The only job that appeared was one where no Christian should ever step foot into. And he was counseled to go back to prison. If that is your only choice, just choose to trust God and do right. But the cost was too high. He took the job, and to this day, he is still under the chastening hand of God. What if someday the church is under severe persecution in the United States of America? What if we're under persecution from the government, and if we were to continue to preach the truth of God's word, then we would lose everything, maybe even go to prison ourselves? What if you may be faced with losing the very support of your family, your loved ones, losing a friendship or becoming ridiculed and ostracized. You see, no matter the trial, what choice will you make when the price seems too high? What if you actually deal with severe loss of a loved one in your life? Will you choose to continue to serve God and follow Him? Or will you fall away? Will you turn your back on the Lord? Will you let your sorrow and fear take control? Will you go back to the land of Moab and serve other gods? You see, we must realize that God must be trusted because He can be trusted. Don't you love that about God? And follow as we seek to please Him regardless of the price. The truth about in these trials we see all throughout the Bible, and where God blesses temporally and where God blesses eternally, is this. You may have to wait until glory, but in following Jesus, the price is never too high. What the Lord continues to teach through Moses, Joseph, Ruth, and the disciples to Jim Elliot, to us, is that you will always be rewarded for choosing to follow Him, whether in this life or in glory. Either way, you are ultimately delivered in God's sovereign timing. And I love that about the Lord, that I can count on that promise. Amen? Here's the truth. If you're here today and you are living in green pastures and you're choosing not to pay any price to follow the Lord, beware. You may receive that massive trial to teach you that very lesson. Or when that decision comes, you may choose like Orpah. You see, it's today, each and every day, we must choose to follow Christ as He builds us in confidence, as He builds us in strength, so that when we face the trials, we can go through them with Him. Live now by making right choices through the Spirit's power right now in your life. I beg you. Jesus taught in Matthew 16:24 that we should deny ourselves, remember, and take up our cross and follow Him. What does the Lord expect of you? What does the Lord expect of me? He expects us to abandon ourselves, to His Lordship most of all, with no consideration of the cost to ourselves, even if you're called for your very life. And I just know, because God says so, I just know the church today could turn the world upside down if it was a church filled with believers, truly committed to following the Lord, whatever the cost. And I ask you to ask the Lord to let me be that type of person. Truly, said Jesus, meaning you can count on it, you will receive many times as much, He says. Mark 10:30 says, 100 times as much. That's an idiom, meaning beyond comparison. Jesus will give beyond comparison. God is a debtor to no man. Praise God. When the last book of the Bible closes, Jesus is still answering the very echo of Peter's question. He says in Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done." Well, Ruth discovered, and multitudes since who sold out for Jesus and are now in glory, is that you will never lose anything, even if you leave everything here in this world to follow Jesus, because Ruth is with the Lord right now. So in the midst of your trials, turn to Jesus. Find refuge in the shadow of His wings. Today, say, "Lord, let me commit everything in my life like Ruth and determine my life to follow You." And if the price of commitment seems too high, which it's not, don't waver. Say, "I'm going to pay it. I'm going to choose right." And when you do that, God will bless you in ways you cannot imagine now and in eternity. Because Ruth's decision transformed her life. She made a life-transforming decision. So go home with this today. When the price seems too high, pay it anyways. You won't be disappointed. Amen? Amen. Dear Lord, I just thank You so much for Your word. I thank You that, Lord, You tell us over and over again, there's no price too high to pay to follow you. Lord, you paid the ultimate price for us. Lord, we are all who know you as our Lord and Savior going to glory. There, Lord, our reward is there. We have no idea what it may be. But it's reward enough, Lord, in just being with you. Lord, please guard our minds and guard our hearts. Lord, trials are no laughing matter. They're serious adversaries. Lord, I pray you'll give us wisdom and discernment in those trials to turn to you, to remind ourselves of your truth. Lord, let us not be like Orpah and turn away and replace you with the gods of this world, of self-sufficient attitude, of money, of anything. But Lord, let us trust in you in all things. Give you the glory, for you are our hope. And Lord, whether you relieve us in this world or the next, either way, we have your promises that you are with us each and every step of the way. Lord, let us decide every day to follow Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.